one verse this morning, Romans 11:8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Unto this day, we know in this very context that the Lord has given some the spirit of life and eyes that they should see and ears that they should hear. And what Paul said there at the end, unto this day, we can say that now. The Lord has given unto this day the Jews that he's talking about, generally speaking, certainly. And in the broader sense of this, anyone who is not his elect. Some may be sitting here this morning, certainly in so-called churches around us this morning, who are not the elect, who are not the remnant, that God hasn't reserved. They have this spirit. It's a spirit of slumber. That doesn't mean they're asleep here in the sense that we think of that, although that is spoken of in the scripture too. It's time to wake up out of sleep. He's talking to his people there. This slumber here, it means a stupor. It means to be insensible, which the verse explains. Insensible means your senses aren't functioning. You can't see, you can't hear, you're in a stupor. I've seen people in that case, physically speaking. And there are many different reasons for that physically, but the spiritual application here, the cause of it is sin. God gives them this in as a righteous, judicial reward for their sin. They're insensible. And what a description of our religious generation. And we must say, as Paul did, unto this day, God does that, has done that. God's preachers, wherever they may be, scattered around this country, we say like Lot. Remember what Lot said? He said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord shall destroy this place. But we seem to them as those to whom Lot spoke, as one that mocks. That's what it says there. He said, up, get you out, God's going to destroy it. And this place is the place of rebellion against God. It's not a building, it's not a country. It's the place of rebellion against God and his Son, the place that we're born in. Get you out of that place. God's going to destroy that place and you with it. And it said there that he seemed to them as one that mocks. And we've used this illustration before. If you say that to someone in some earthly situation, like if the building is on fire, you say, oh, get you out of this place. This place is going down. Or if you're in any situation where you're telling somebody something that it's absolutely vital that they respond to, and they're incapable of responding, or they refuse to respond. If they don't respond to imminent danger, there's four reasons that could be the reason for that. Number one, they don't believe you. They just flat don't believe you. The building's on fire. Well, I don't smell any smoke. I don't believe you. Number two, they're insane. They're out of their mind. They have no idea about reality. Number three, they're already dead. If you come upon somebody in a burning building and they're covered with debris and their flesh is burning and you see that they're not moving, get out or go on to somebody else. They're gone. Or number four, like in our text here, they're in such a stupor. Maybe they're overcome already by smoke inhalation or whatever. They've been knocked senseless by some falling timber or something, and they're insensible to your cries of emergency. And all four of these are true in the case of the unregenerate sinner. All four of them. And the Word of God is very clear on that. We see number four in our text. But the first one, they just don't believe you. Well, why don't sinners get out of the place that they are in by nature? God's going to destroy them in that place. Why don't they get out? They don't believe what we're saying. They just don't believe it. They say, well, my good, I know I've done some bad things, but I'm not in that bad of shape. I don't believe you. But God is sovereign. He's holy. He must punish sin. I don't believe that about God. I think he gives everybody a chance, and I've made my decision for Jesus, and everything's fine between me and the man upstairs. Get you out of that place. There's an urgency to escape that kind of thinking. And they just flat don't believe. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Number two, as our Lord plainly demonstrated in his encounter with the madman of Gadara, we are by nature self-destructive madmen. He went around cutting himself and crying, and nobody even wanted to go near him. If we could see ourselves as we are in our sin, as God sees us, it's only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that any sinner can ever be found resting in him and clothed in his righteousness and these key words in their right mind. We're not in our right mind. We're in the mind that we're born with, but we're not in the mind that Adam had before the fall. We're not in a mind to glorify God with all that we do and all that we say and all of our very thoughts. Number three, maybe you're dead. Maybe that's it. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is life, then you are dead. Dead. Oh, but bless God, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then number four, of course, our text is clear that this stupor is such a one that we can't even see with our eyes nor hear with our ears. My father, who I love very much, he had a stroke. And thereafter, for as long as he was alive thereafter, he was in a stupor. He didn't know we were in the room. He couldn't hear what we were saying. He was insensible. That's what this is talking about. The unbeliever is all four of these. Can't see, can't hear, and God has given this spirit of slumber, as we said, because of their sin. This is what all sinners deserve, to be given over to a reprobate mind. But bless God, he hasn't dealt so with every sinner. These four fatal conditions are so of the rest. There is the election, as we saw in the context, and the rest. Everyone who is not elect is in this condition. Those mentioned in verse 7. But it's no longer so with his elect. We've been there. We know what it is to be dead. We know what it is to be in a stupor. We know what it is to not believe, to be like Thomas when he said, I will not believe. But bless God, we also know what it is to see the Savior and hear his call. Thomas, come hither and reach hither thy finger and be not faithless but believing. By his grace, we've experienced his saving power. We're eternal debtors to his almighty free grace. He's met our every need in all four of these cases. Number one, we don't believe God by nature. And that's just, we don't realize what a crime that is, what a sin that is. God, who made you, is speaking to you. And you say, I don't believe that? But by God's grace, having heard the word, and as we saw in in chapter 10 of our text, God sends a messenger, and he preaches, and he preaches the gospel, and we hear it. And by God's grace, we lay hold of Christ, who is the gospel, by faith. And then we say what Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And in the second case, we know what it is to be madmen. We know what it is to hurt ourselves, to be self-destructive. Paul said, Timothy, teach those that oppose themselves. They're killing themselves. And he gives this spirit to those who deserve it. But in the case of some who deserve it, he does. He gives another spirit. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We were insane. We thought we could do something to please God. That's insanity. We thought God was altogether such an one as ourselves. That's insanity. That's the worst kind. But God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. He's given some the spirit of stupor. And then number three, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. With who? With Christ, comma, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's what life is. How are we dead? We're dead in trespasses and sins. But he quickened us. How did he do it? He forgave all of our sins. And then number four, Matthew 13:16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You deserve, just like them, just like the rest, to be given over to your natural blindness and deafness, your stupor, your insensibility to the truth of God. But by his grace, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. May God give us grace to just this morning, while we're here, to truly praise him from our hearts for his grace upon us. Let's bow and pray together again.